Ain't God good? Isaiah 55 and 6. Isaiah 55 and 6. If you're here today and you're a visitor, we welcome you here. Amen. Give our visitors a hand. Now, here what's cool. You don't know who they are, but they know who they are. You just clapped. It's like, I don't really know who's a visitor. But they do, so we were clapping for you. Amen. Isaiah 55 and 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Somebody say amen to that one. Amen. Amen. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You can go ahead and be seated. I don't read as many stories as I used to when I preach, but man, I came across this and I got to read this to you today to kind of set the purpose of this sermon. I'm not going to preach to everybody today, but I want to preach to somebody. And I know that every sermon is not for us at this moment, but something about the Word of God, you can use it later. And you'll remember back, and you'll say, you know, I remember. I didn't need that now. I didn't need that right now, but I sure will need it later. Or I don't need it. I'll need it then. And so the Word of God, you can't exhaust it. But he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I truly believe that there is a day that the Spirit will not always strive with man. I see altar call after altar call, and I see the Spirit drawing. And I see people fighting that fight, battling that battle that most of us in here have fought. Can you say amen? I've sat in church services as a young man and fought the battle. Should I go? Should I stay? Something's calling. Is it real? Is it me? What's going on? And I see people fight that battle because the Spirit is still striving with man. But Darren, I truly believe that there will be a day, I'm not a dispensationalist, but I do believe that there will come a day that the mercy to the Gentiles will be cut off. I believe that the Spirit will not be striving with man. And I think these scriptures bear witness to that. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. People can be saved right now. Because the way of the wicked leads to destruction. One thing about us here, we're not politically correct. If you are lost, you'll go to hell. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God doesn't just have a little grace, he has a lot of grace. He doesn't just give a little mercy, but he's got a whole lot of mercy. And his mercy doesn't just last for a little bit, but the Bible says that his mercy endureth forever. I'm so glad to know that his mercy endures forever. Why is that? Because when I get to heaven, I won't get kicked out because God's mercy endures forever. It's not like he's going to look at me one day and say, you know, my mercy is up for you. I'm glad he bestowed his mercy upon me, and I'm glad that mercy will endure forever and ever and ever. I have the opportunity to praise him throughout all eternity because his mercy endures forever. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that his mercy saved me. I'm glad that his mercy brought me. I'm glad that his mercy picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock. I'm glad for the mercy of God. Where would I be without his mercy? He abundantly pardons. He doesn't just forgive me once. He didn't just forgive me thinking that I'd never mess up again. He knew exactly what I would do and who I am, but he showed me mercy anyway. Every morning I get up, his mercy is new every single morning. Y'all know my story. I used to sit in church and old people give testimonies and they'd say, I'm glad the Lord woke me up this morning. And I think, that's really good. You know, that's great. That's great. I was young. Now that I'm older, I'm really glad the Lord wakes me up some mornings. But I learned something. Every morning that I get up, his mercy is new that morning. You know why I'm glad I got up this morning? Because I got a brand new start this morning. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But what I have is right now, and it's a gift of God through his mercy. And his mercy is so great that I get to walk in it new every single morning. The same mercy that brought me in is the same mercy that keeps me, is the same mercy that forgives me. And when I get there, it's the same mercy that'll look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to your rest by the mercy of God. Oh, have mercy. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his ways. Let him get away from those ways, and the unrighteous man his thought. But I want to start with verse 18, for my thoughts, or verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Can you say amen to that? Have you ever wished God's thoughts were your thoughts? Have you ever asked him to do something and you wish that he would do it exactly the way you ask him to do it, when you ask him to do it, and God, please do it on accelerated schedule. I need you now. Raise your hand if that's ever been you. God, I need you, and I need you right now. God, I need you to move, and here's exactly how I need you to move. And God, this is how it needs to be done, and you need to do it like this. Whether you was it's hard to tell what you was praying for. But you was praying, and you needed God to do it right then. I want to preach to somebody today. His thoughts are not your thoughts. You think you know how God needs to work it out, but his thoughts are not your thoughts. As a matter of fact, they're much higher than your thoughts. Here's a story. I want to read this to you. This is a story in Judaism, and they teach this some as fact, some as legend. But I want to read this to you because it's got such powerful implication. It says that Rabbi Joshua ben Levi fasted and prayed to God that he might be permitted to gaze upon the life of a prophet. He said, "Let me journey with you in your travels through the world." The rabbi would ask if he could go with this prophet and see the things that he had done and experience some of the things that he had experienced. And the story says that God answered his prayer. He said, "Let me observe your doings so that I may gain in wisdom and understanding." As he met the prophet, he said, "You're going to have a lot of problems understanding my actions. My doings will trouble you, and they will take you beyond your comprehension." Still the rabbi said, "I want to go. I want to go." He said, "I promise I won't trouble nor question you. Only let me accompany you on your way." "Come then," said the prophet, "but let your tongue be mute. With your first question, your first expression of astonishment, we must part company." So the two journeyed through the world together. They approached the house of a poor man whose only treasure and means of support was a cow. As they came near, the man and his wife hastened to meet them, begged them to come in into their house, eat and drink of the best that they had, and pass the night under their roof. This they did, and they received every attention from their host and hostess. In the morning, the prophet prayed to God that the cow belonging to the poor people should die, and the animal died. Then the travelers continued on their way. Rabbi Joshua was amazed. He thought, why would he kill the cow? Why would he kill this poor man's cow? The prophet knew the thoughts of his heart. He said, "If I answer your question, we must part ways." Toward the evening, they arrived at a large, imposing mansion. The residence was arrogant. The man that owned it was very wealthy. They were coldly received. A piece of bread and a glass of water were placed before them. They remained there during the night. In the morning, the prophet saw that a wall of the house had collapsed, and he immediately restored the wall. Rabbi Johnson again was filled with wonder, but he said nothing, and they proceeded on their journey. As the shades of night were falling, they entered a city where there was a large and imposing synagogue. They went in at the time of the evening service and admired the rich adornments, the velvet cushions, the carvings of the interior. After the service, the president arose and called out, "Who is willing to take these two poor men into the house?" None answered, and the traveling strangers had to sleep in the synagogue in the morning. However, the prophet shook hands with the members of the synagogue and said, "I hope that you may all become presidents." The next evening, the two entered into another city. The leader of the synagogue came to meet them and notified the members of the congregation the coming of the two strangers. The best hotel and place was open to them, and all showed them attention and honor. On parting with them, the prophet said, "May the Lord appoint but one president over you." Rabbi Joshua could not resist any longer. He said, "Tell me, you have to tell me the meaning of all these actions which I have witnessed. To those who have treated us coldly, you have extended good wishes. To those who have been gracious to us, you have made no suitable return. Even at the risk of parting, please explain to me the meaning of your acts." The prophet said, "We first entered into the house of the poor man who treated us so kindly. Now it had been decreed that on that man's house that his wife should die that day. I prayed to the Lord that the cow might die instead, and God granted me my prayers. The woman was saved. The rich man whom we visited next treated us coldly, and I rebuilt his wall. For had he rebuilt it himself, he would have discovered a treasure which lies underneath that wall. To call the members of the synagogue who were not hospitable, I said, may all of you be presidents." The Bible says, or the theory says, where many rule, there can be no peace. But to the others, I said, may you have one president with you, because where there is one leader, they shall prosper. He said, the reason you don't understand what God is doing is because you look on the surface and you think you know. How many times have we wondered and we've prayed and we ask God to do it a certain way, and we say, God, I need you to do it like this, and God doesn't answer our prayer, and we become very upset with God because he didn't do it the way we wanted him to do it. I want to preach to you today, his thoughts are high above your thoughts, and his ways are high above your ways. You may think you know how God needs to fix it, but I want to let you know that this God that I serve knows exactly what he's doing, and can't nobody do you like Jesus can. Can't nobody touch you like Jesus can. Can't nobody fix it like Jesus can. The problem is, in our finite mind, we think we know. But we've got to understand who God is. We say, oh, the cow died. But what we didn't know is God moved in a way. Oh, and in the beginning when Adam sinned, he said, the day you sin, you shall surely die. It looked bad on the surface, did it not? But oh, the redemption that we share right now is greater than any experience in the garden could ever afford us. How so, preacher? I'm going to tell you how so. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. God would come down and walk with him in the cool of the day. But there was a firmament that separated the heaven from the earth. But I'm here to tell you, the redemption that I share is greater than a walk in the garden in the cool of the day. I've got a Savior that's not just with me in the cool of the day. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, though you make your bed in hell, I'm with you. The hope that I have in Jesus is greater than the garden experience. Can you say amen? The salvation that we share is perfect. But when you look at the garden, we say, I have said, I can't wait to get to heaven, because if Adam's there, I want to punch him in the nose. how beautiful it was, how perfect it was, but Adam messed it up. My thought, 900 and some years he lived. I know y'all have heard me say it before, I'm going to say it again. I could not imagine family reunions. For 900 years, Adam has to face everybody. Oh, here he comes, the guy that blew it. Hey, Hezekiah, how's your garden? It's horrible. What's his fault? Hey, Obadiah, how you doing? Thorns and thistles, tons of them. His fault. I got this feeling he wasn't real popular. And looking back, it would have been awesome if Adam wouldn't have messed up and that wouldn't have been part of the plan and all of that wouldn't have happened. And then we would all be living in luxury and we would all be blessed and we wouldn't have to earn it by the sweat of our brow and everything would come easy and there'd be a mist that would just water the garden and it wouldn't have to rain and we wouldn't have to deal with storms and all that would never come about. But here's what I do know. God's ways are high above our ways. Because let me tell you what's greater than living on easy street and having it right when you can go through the trial and that Savior is with you in the heat of the battle and you come out and you still got your song and you still got your praise through the storm. You still can worship because you know Him. Amen. What a greater testimony. How can you become an overcomer if there's nothing to overcome? But because there is a battle, there are overcomers. Hey, Jesus, can you grant my sons to sit with you on each side of your throne? Jesus made a statement that blew my mind. That's not mine to give. Wait a minute, you're Jesus. You can do whatever you want, right? He said, that's not mine to give. They want to sit with me on the throne. That's not mine to give. But Revelation tells us this, to he that overcometh, he will sit with me on my throne. It may not be his to give, but it's mine to take. Let me say that again, because that'll preach to you. It wasn't his to give, but it's mine to take. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know what? God's looking for a believer that says, it might look bad, but your thoughts are above my thoughts. The battle may be rough, but your ways are higher than my ways. I hate trials. Thank you. Me and Mona's the only one that hates trials. Y'all like, we love them. We love them, preacher. When you're in a trial, you've been in a trial. Never mind, I know. Man, when you're in a trial, the Bible says to count it all. That's a scripture. Count it all joy when you get a raise, when everything's going great. Count it all joy. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I get excited about raises. Amen? And when I get one, I about wrecked one time I got a raise. I ain't joking. I was going down the road, I was like, man, I raised a good raise. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, thank you. Ah! Whoa, red light. I can't remember ever going down the road. Man, I'm in a horrible trial. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. I about died because I was so excited about my trial. I don't get excited about trials, but he said, count it all joy. Why would he tell me to count it all joy when I'm in a trial? Because his ways are high above our ways. I got to borrow this. Tracy sent me this the other day, and I got to borrow it. It was Jackie Hill. What's her next? Perry. Jackie Hill Perry. He's preaching about bread. Everybody says, oh, Lord, just leave it alone. Keep going. She said, you ever went to Olive Garden and they bring y'all out those bread sticks? Look at y'all. People are smiling right now. Y'all ain't smiled the whole sermon. I said breadsticks. They're like, yeah. Man, those are some of the best breadsticks ever. Can I get a witness? You're bringing things out. And you know what you do? You start eating them breadsticks. Anybody? You don't wait. You don't wait for them to bring anything else out. You just start, oh, man, eating breadsticks. And then they bring that salad out. They start putting the cheese on it. I'm convinced Tracy would let their arms fall off. Like, tell me when to stop. Tracy, tell him. Finally, one of the kids goes, stop. Out of mercy for the, man, you eat those breadsticks, and you eat those breadsticks, and you eat those breadsticks. And then you know what they do? They bring you more. And you know what you do? You eat more. And then they bring you the menu. You know what you have a hard time doing? Ordering at that point. You know why? Because you're full of what? You're full of bread. She said, when you're full of bread, these other things aren't quite as appetizing to you because you're full of bread.
Oh, that's so good.
It was.
It's good.
I'm with you. I was like, man, I'm glad Tracy sent me that, because let me tell you something. Man, when you get full of bread, there are some things that you would normally partake of, and you say, I don't want those because I'm full of bread. You know what we need to get? We need to get full of bread, because when we're full of bread, the things of this world aren't appetizing to us anymore because we got the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread. I will never forget this. We was in church one time, and there was a guy from, he was down the county way. Man, he was excited. He was testifying. He was talking about Jesus being the door. I'm going to try to say it just like he said it. He said, honey, Jesus is the door, honey. But a door ain't good unless it's hung. He said Jesus was the door, but they hung him on a cross, and then he made access for us to get in. They hung the door, and the door made a way that we could get in. Man, he was tore up. I've never heard that kind of theology in my life. You're not going to read a commentary that says that. That is Southern West Virginia philosophy right there. Matthew Henry never thought of that. A door ain't no good unless it's hung. He had a point. If Jesus didn't die, if he didn't hang on the cross, we're still in trouble. There's no access. Well, when I was thinking about this and this sermon, I got this idea. And it's Southern Western. It's not going to be in a commentary. But bread ain't no good unless it's cooked. You people run around eating cookie dough, you're going to get salmonella eventually. You didn't know you was going to get health tips, did you? You make the dough. You get it ready. But until there's heat, it can't be a blessing until it, how many people are going to go to the Olive Garden and they roll up in there with the basket full of dough? You trying to peel them apart. Ain't going to work. Who's going to eat that? Raise your hand. Because you're all, I'm going to go ahead and let you go because you're hungry. But what you got to do with bread is you got to put it in heat. And then it rises. And then it becomes beneficial. Amen. See, you think that you're going to be beneficial without any heat. You think you're going to be beneficial without ever going through anything. No. All you're going to do is have the form of bread, but you're going to deny the power thereof. You're going to have a form that may look like that, but until the heat is applied, there can be no blessing. So the bread has to be put through the heat. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Thank God he put him through the fire of Calvary so that he might be broken and given to us. Oh, it's a communion service right here. He said, this is my body. Take it. But you know what the Bible says? Many of them quit following him after that sermon. This is my blood. Drink it. This is the blood of the new covenant. I'm going to take you to a scripture real fast. 1 Corinthians 10, 17. That's not on my list, but... For we, being many, are what? Say it a little bit louder. We, being many, are one bread. One bread. But Pastor, I was just wondering, is your church gluten-free? I was just kind of concerned. Are you guys gluten-free? For we being many are one bread, one body, for we are all of that. So he's the one bread and we're the one bread. One plus one equals one. If he's one bread and we're one bread, how are we all one bread? Because we become one with the one bread. Amen. So now watch this. Watch this. If he had to be put in a place of high temperature, what makes you think that you don't have to be put in a place of high temperature? If we're going to be that one bread and we're going to be a blessing, we got to trust the heat that God puts us through. Oh, this is going to get good. Because I'm going to teach you something. God's got a way of getting your attention. Yeah, amen. You ever been wandering around and you're going the wrong way and all of a sudden something gets you and before you know it, you're praying again every morning? God's got a way of getting your attention. Raise your hand if you ever got your attention. Raise your hand. Some of you are still sitting here because that's how God does it. And the way he got your attention, you may not have preferred that sort of attention-getting mechanism. Well, God, all you had to do is just tell me politely. I said when I was growing up, I said I would never say this to my kids because I said so. That made no sense to me when I was growing up. Because I said so, that's why. Well, my logic was better than hers. Mom. I said, you know what? When I get older, I'm not telling them. I'm going to explain to them why they're going to do it that way. Yeah, right. You say, hey, don't go over. Why not? Because I... Well, let me explain to you why you shouldn't go over. The reason you should go over there is because it's dangerous over there. There they go. Get back over there. Why can't I go over there? I done explained it to you. Because it's dangerous over there. Don't do that. I never whip my kids for spilling milk. This is just a parenting lesson. I've seen people beat their kids half to death because they spill something. Anybody? I want to look at them and say, have you ever spilled something clumsy? Why are you beating your kid for that? That's crazy. But now if you tell the kid to get off the table and they're up there crawling around and then they knock the milk over, you got to explain to them. Here's what's about to happen here. It's not because you spilled the milk. We all spill milk. But we all don't crawl around on the table when somebody told us to get off. So here we go. But you know what? Sometimes you don't want to explain it all. And even though I made that vow, there were times when this cute little fella right here would do something, I'd say, stop. Why? Because I said so. That's why. I'm not explaining it. It's because I said so. Well, let me tell you what kind of God God is. He's a because I said so God. Amen. Oh, yeah. How do you know? Because his book said so. He said, forsake your wicked ways. Tell the wicked man to forsake his ways. Well, I was just wondering why. Because he said so. Hey, the unrighteous, get rid of your thoughts. Well, I was just wondering what kind of thought. Because he said so. You do it because he said so. But here's the great thing of it. God's plan is so good that if you would just do what he said so, everything would work out better for you. He said, don't do it, don't do it. Why? His ways are high above your ways. So if we're going to be bread, we're going to have to go through some heat. But here's the cool thing. You have an option of what kind of heat you go through. Well, I tell you, preacher, I really like that Arizona heat because it's different than Florida heat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever been there? If I was going to pick 100 degrees in Florida or Arizona, I would pick Arizona. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's hot. But it ain't like hot. Like Florida, you just walk outside and just water starts running off of you. You don't even have to move, do you, Eddie? You can just walk out there in that humidity. You're like, ooh, glory. You get out there in that Arizona heat, it's hot, 110. It's still hot, but it's more bearable. So what's your sermon, preacher? You get to pick. You get to pick because there's a couple of different kinds of heat that you can go through to become useful in the kingdom of God. We talked about this morning. John said, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and it sounds so much better when you say fire. And people get, you know what I mean? You just say Holy Ghost and fire. But if you say Holy Ghost and fire, they're like, yeah. It's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let me tell you what the fire of the Spirit does. It makes the bread useful. Now, if you don't yield to the fire of the Spirit, then God's going to put you through some kind of fire, and you're going to have to go through a trial to make you useful. But right now, you can make the choice. I'm one bread. I'm going to be that one bread, and I'm going to yield to the fire of the Holy Ghost so that I can be a blessing. Let's be honest. Sometimes you go through the trial because you didn't yield to the Spirit. So you go through Florida heat when you could have went through Arizona heat, and it would have been way better for you. But no, 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 no. You know the way you ought to roll. No, you better trust him. Trust him. Come on. Come on. Who's playing? Who's playing? Well, come on. Help us. If there was ever a Baptist, that was one of them. Y'all miss Sunday school. Tom the Baptist. He baptized in everything he could. Make sure he got it. Man, I love that, Thomas. That's so good. That's so good. We'll get you. One way or the other, we're going to get you. You get to choose. You yield to the Spirit, you're the bread. The heat of the Spirit activates you to touch somebody else. That's why it's the fire of the Spirit, right? Right? Now, if not, it can happen instantly. Anybody ever had the Spirit lead you to do something and you didn't obey it? And what happened right after that? You went through a trial, didn't you? Right there on the spot in your mind. Oh, I should have just obeyed the Lord. And you're already struggling. You ain't even left the church yet. Florida heat. You could have went through Arizona heat. It could have been better for you. But you get to choose whether you're going to be used by him or not. He's going to get you if you're his. The purpose of redemption, I've learned this, and the purpose of redemption is ownership. The purpose of ownership is service. He's going to get you. If you're his, he's going to get you. Are you going to allow him to work through you? Are you going to force him? Because sometimes we don't understand what's going on in our own lives. I want to preach to you right now for just give me 3 more minutes. If you're in a spot right now in your life and you don't know what in the world's going on, you need to come up here and let's pray for you. Let me tell you what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that the Spirit of the Almighty God begins to reveal what you need to do, because he said so. Because sometimes we're not doing what he told us to do, and we're wondering why it's not working out. It's because we're in direct opposition to what he wants us to do. I'm not preaching to everybody, but I'm preaching to somebody. Come on, Darren. Come on. Jason, come on. Come on, y'all, help me. Get ready. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. You say, you know what? I'm in this spot. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I need somebody to pray for me right now. Help us. Help us. God, you show him, Lord. You show him.